Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 33 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. Can you be with the whole of your psyche? The practice, Let It Rain, R-A-I-N. Why? When you're young, the territory of the psyche is like a vast estate with rolling hills, forests, and plains, swamps, and meadows. So many things can be experienced, expressed, wanted, and loved. But as life goes along, most people pull back from major parts of their psyche. Perhaps a swamp of sadness was painful, or fumes of a toxic wish were alarming, or jumping exuberantly in a meadow of joy irritated a parent into scolding. Or maybe you saw someone else get in trouble for feeling, saying, or doing something, and you resolved consciously or unconsciously to stay away from that place forever. In whatever way it happens, most of us end up by mid-adulthood living in the gatehouse, venturing out a bit, but lacking much sense of the whole estate, the great endowment of the whole psyche. Emotions are shut down. Energetic and erotic whisperings of vitality are capped. Deep longings are set aside. Subpersonalities are shackled and silenced. Old pain and troubles are buried. The roots of reactions, hurt, anger, feelings of inadequacy are veiled, so we can't get at them, and we live at odds with both nature and our own nature. Sure, the processes of the psyche need some regulation. Not all thoughts should be spoken. Not all desires should be acted upon. But if you suppress, disown, push away, recoil from, or deny major parts of yourself, then you feel cut off, alienated from yourself, lacking vital information about what is really going on inside, no longer at home in your own skin or your own mind, which feels bad, lowers effectiveness at home and work, fuels interpersonal issues, and contributes to health problems. So what can we do? How can we reclaim, use, enjoy, and be at peace with our whole estate without being overwhelmed by its occasional swamps and fumes? This is where RAIN, R-A-I-N, comes in. How? RAIN is an acronym originally created by Michelle McDonald, a senior mindfulness teacher, to summarize a powerful way to expand self-awareness. Tara Brach has developed this approach further, including her highly recommended book, Radical Compassion, Learning to Love Yourself and Your World with the Practice of RAIN. I've adapted their approaches here, and any flaws are my own, not Michelle's or Tara's. R equals recognize. Notice that you're experiencing something, such as irritation at the tone of voice used by your partner, child, or coworker. Step back into observation rather than reaction. Without getting into the story, simply name what is present, such as annoyance, thoughts of being mistreated, the body firing up, hurt, wanting to cry. A equals accept or allow. Acknowledge that your experience is what it is, even if it's unpleasant. Be with it without attempting to change it. Try to have self-compassion instead of self-criticism. Don't add to the difficulty by being hard on yourself. I investigate or inquire. Try to find an attitude of interest, curiosity, and openness. Not detached intellectual analysis, but a gently engaged exploration, often with a sense of tenderness or friendliness toward what it finds. Open to other aspects of the experience, such as softer feelings of hurt under the brittle armor of anger. It's okay for your inquiry to be guided by a bit of insight into your own history and personality, but try to stay close to the raw experience and out of psychoanalyzing yourself. N equals not identify or not self. Have a feeling, thought, etc., instead of being it. Disentangle yourself from the various parts of the experience, knowing that they are small, fleeting aspects of the totality that you are. See the streaming nature of sights, sounds, thoughts, and other contents of mind arising and passing away due mainly to causes having nothing to do with you, that is impersonal. Feel the contraction, stress, and pain that comes from claiming any part of this stream as I or me or mine, and sense the spaciousness and peace that comes when experiences simply flow. RAIN and related practices of spacious awareness are fundamental to mental health and are always worth doing in their own right. Additionally, sometimes they alone enable painful or challenging contents of the mind to dissipate and pass away. But often it is not enough to simply be with the mind, even in as profound a way as RAIN. Then we need to work with the mind by reducing what's negative and increasing what's positive. It's also necessary to work with the mind to build up the inner resources needed to be with it. Being with and working with the mind are not at odds with each other, as some say, but in fact support each other. And whatever ways we can work with the garden of the mind, pulling weeds and planting flowers will be more successful after it rains. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Happiness and Resilience by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's another just one thing. What's weighing you down? The practice? Lighten up. Why? On the path of life, most of us are hauling way too much weight. What's in your own backpack? If you're like most of us, you've got too many items on each day's to-do list and too much stuff in the closet. Too many entanglements with other people, and too many shoulds, worries, guilts, and regrets. Remember a time when you lightened your load. Maybe a backpacking trip when every needless pound stayed home. Or after you finally left a bad relationship. Or just stopped worrying about something. Or came clean with a friend about something that had been bothering you. How did this feel? Probably pretty great. Sure, we are no longer nomadic hunter-gatherers whose possessions could be carried in one hand. You know what you really need in this life. Personally, I'm glad about good friends and a full refrigerator. But all the extra physical and mental stuff you lug around complicates your life, weighs you down, and keeps you stuck. There's enough weightiness in life as it is, without adding more. Putting this subject in a larger framework, consider the Hindu idea that God has three primary manifestations: Creator, Preserver, and Destroyer. I can't do justice in this brief space to this view, but the simple notion that works for me is that there is a lawful and beneficial principle in the universe that is about pruning, emptying, completing, and ending. This positive destroying, very broadly defined, enables creating and preserving, as exhaling enables inhaling. Or emptying a cup of something bitter enables filling it with something sweet. Dropping loads enables lightening up. How? In general, lay your burdens down and rarely pick up new ones. Now, the details. Pick some place of storage, like a bookshelf, drawer, or corner of a closet, and clear it out of everything that you no longer truly want or absolutely need. Give it away or throw it away. Notice how this feels, both anxiety and positive feelings. Sometimes we fear we will sort of blow away in life if we don't have a lot of stuff. Then focus on the positive feelings and be open to a sense of reward in dropping the things that you don't need. Keep going with other stuff you don't want or need, both at home and at work. Take a hard look at your obligations, responsibilities, and tasks. Maybe write down a list. Ask yourself, do I really need to do all of these things? Open to that voice of wisdom in you that's telling you what you can afford to drop. Open to a sense of freedom and autonomy. You get to decide what makes the most sense to do, not the shoulds yammering away inside your head. Decide what you can give others to do and get them to do it. Decide what you could stop doing, whether others pick it up or not. For a period of time, a day, a week, a year, do not take on a single new major obligation. Regard all new activities, events, and tasks as guilty until proven innocent. Toss them in your backpack only if you are certain you truly want to or absolutely have to. Consider your relationships. Which ones feel weighty, entangled, encumbered? Then consider what you could do about that. Could you step back? No longer engage in certain topics? No longer perform certain roles? Take a look at your mind. What weighs it down? Guilt about long ago misdeeds? Needless anxiety? High perfectionistic standards? Grumbling anger, grievances, passivity, lethargy, doubt, taking yourself way too seriously? Whatever it is, for a brief period of time, totally drop it. At first whiff, drop it. See what that's like. Probably pretty great. Then ride that great wave of relief and lightness and continue dropping those lead weights in your mind. Overall, if in doubt, throw it out. Play with feeling lighter in your body, as if you are lifted up by invisible helium balloons. Lighter in your step, your head is lighter on your shoulders. Lighter in your heart. You're listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. Are you feeling unneeded pain? The practice: minimize painful experiences. Why? Painful experiences range from subtle discomfort to extreme anguish, and there is a place for them. Sorrow can open the heart. Anger can highlight injustices. Fear can alert you to real threats. And remorse can help you to take the high road next time. But is there really any shortage of suffering in this world? Look at the faces of others, including mine or your own, in the mirror, and see the marks of weariness, irritation, stress, disappointment, longing, and worry. There's plenty of challenge in life already, including unavoidable illness, loss of loved ones, old age, and death. Without needing a bias in your brain to give you an extra dose of pain each day. Your brain evolved exactly such a negativity bias in order to help your ancestors pass on their genes, a bias that produces a lot of collateral damage today. Painful experiences are more than passing discomforts. They produce lasting harms to your physical and mental health. When you're feeling frazzled, pressured, down, hard on yourself, or simply frustrated, that weakens your immune system, impairs nutrient absorption in your gastrointestinal system, increases vulnerabilities in your cardiovascular system, decreases your reproductive hormones, exacerbates PMS, and disturbs your nervous system. Consider the famous saying, neurons that fire together wire together. This means that repeated painful experiences, even mild ones, tend to increase pessimism and anxiety and irritability, lower your mood, reduce ambition and positive risk-taking. In a couple, experiences that are upsetting foster mistrust, heightened sensitivity to relatively small issues, distance, and vicious cycles. At much larger scales, between groups or nations, they do much the same. So don't take painful experiences lightly, neither the ones you get nor, honestly, the ones that you give. Prevent them when you can and help them pass through when you can't. How? This week, take a stand for yourself, for feeling as good as you reasonably can. A stand for bearing painful experiences when they walk through the door, and a stand for encouraging them to keep walking all the way out of your mind. This is not being at war with discomfort or distress, which would just add negativity, like trying to put out a fire with gasoline. Instead, it is being kind to yourself, wise and realistic about the toxic effects of painful experiences. In effect, you're simply saying to yourself something that you'd say to a dear friend in pain. I want you to feel better, and I'm going to help you. Try saying that to yourself in your mind right now. How does it feel? When emotional pain does come, even softly, try to hold it in a large space of awareness. In a traditional metaphor, imagine stirring a big spoon of salt into a cup of water and then drinking it. Yuck. But then imagine stirring that spoonful into a clean bucket of water and then drinking a cup. It's the same amount of salt, the same amount of worry or frustration, feeling inadequate or blue, but held in a larger context. Notice that awareness is without any edges, boundless like the sky, with thoughts and feelings passing through. In your mind, watch out for how negative information, events, or experiences can seem to overpower positive ones. For example, researchers have found that people typically will work harder or put up with more crud to avoid losing something than to gain something. And they feel more contaminated by one fault than they feel cleansed or elevated by several virtues. Try to switch this around. For instance, pick some of your good qualities and keep seeing how they show up in your life this week. Be careful whenever you feel stymied, frustrated, or disappointed. Humans are very vulnerable to what's called learned helplessness, developing a sense of futility, immobilization, and passivity. Focus on where you can make a difference, where you do have power. It may be only inside your own mind, but that's better than nothing at all. In your relationships, be mindful of reacting more strongly to one negative event than to a bunch of positive ones. For example, studies have shown that it typically takes several positive interactions to make up for a single negative encounter. Pick an important relationship and then really pay attention to what's working in it. Let yourself feel good about these things. Deal with the problems in this relationship, sure, but keep them in perspective. Overall, whenever you remember, deliberately tilt toward the positive in your mind. That's not looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. Given the negativity bias in the brain, you're only leveling the playing field. You've been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices from Dr. Rick Hansen. We are so busy these days that it's great to have just one thing to focus on, a simple theme to reflect on and be inspired by. These practices are grounded in brain science, positive psychology, and contemplative training. They are simple and easy to do, and they produce powerful results. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming your way next from Sun Sounds of Arizona.